We read God's Word in Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10 and reading to the end of the chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Thus far we read God's word, and I call your attention to verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beloved saints in Christ, it is true of us, is it not, that we have been called to fight, we have been strengthened for the battle, and we are ready now to go forth. Called to fight. The Lord, in His great war which He wages against sin and unbelief and darkness in this world, has called us out of darkness, given us His light to bear witness to His glory and defend His name, and sends us forth. We've been called. We have been strengthened. This morning at the table of the Lord again, we have been strengthened in our faith and in our spiritual life, so that though we do grow weary in the battle, we know that God gives us this strength we need to fight it. And we are ready. The gospel encourages us. It motivates us. It prepares us to go forth in His service. It is of this readiness of the gospel to fight the battles of faith that our text speaks. It speaks of our having our feet shod with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. This is the footwear of the Christian armor, the third piece of armor of which the apostle has spoken. We've learned what it is to gird our loins with truth and to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And now we must see that our feet are prepared. What is this footwear? Why is it necessary? And how do we put it on? To these I call your attention this afternoon under the theme, the Christian's armor, our spiritual footwear. Notice first the identity, secondly the necessity, and thirdly our shodding ourselves with it. The inspired apostle again draws an analogy to the armor of the Roman soldier. Now, the armor of the Roman soldier consists of a number of parts. To the lower part and the footwear, we draw our attention and we can distinguish two aspects to that part of the armor. One really isn't mentioned in the text. There are, first of all, the greaves. And the greaves are a leather or a metal covering of the shins, the part of the legs from the knees down, so that one's lower legs are protected in the battle. One time in the scriptures, allusion or reference is made to the Shes, the giant Goliath, heavily armed as he went to fight the Israelites, had on sheaves, or rather greaves, of brass. The other part to which our text even more clearly alludes is the sandals or the footwear. These were made of leather. They were solid leather on the bottom, covering the sole of the feet completely. And then on the top, as we think of sandals also, partially covered by the laces that held the bottom together. Often, especially in war, the soldiers' footwear had nails or spikes put through the sole and protruding on the bottom, so that they would have better traction and more secure footing in the battle. With this footwear on, they could run and move and hold their ground more readily. The footwear of the Christian soldier is spiritual, not physical in nature. It consists of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation, that is, the readiness. And this readiness of which our text is speaking is not a matter of getting ready. We are not being told now in the text, get yourselves ready. Rather, we're being told, put them on, be ready, stand at attention, and be ready to fight. Be prepared for the war. The Christian is prepared, he is ready for the battle, when in the first place he has on all the different parts of the armor, but also, secondly, when he's prepared himself in his mind. It takes a certain strength of mind and of soul. It takes courage, in other words, to fight in the war. And you and I are called to put on that courage, just as much as we're called to put on any other aspect of the armor of the Christian. To have this courage involves our having a sober view of the battle. We are not those who are giddy at the opportunity to go out and fight against sin and Satan and his wicked hosts. We have a sober view of the battle because we understand the cause involved is the cause of God. And because we understand that though Jesus Christ has fought and won that battle in principle, the enemy is as strong and cunning and deceptive as he is. A sober view of the enemy keeps one from being giddy or from assuming that this battle will not last long. It won't take much. I'll walk away the clear victor. No, a sober view faces the reality. There must be a fight. There must be war. But at the same time, the sober view of the battle is to have courage. And the reason for the courage is the hope that in Jesus Christ, the final victory will be ours. Knowing what he accomplished in the battle over Satan, in his death, and in his resurrection. Once again, there's a wrong kind of courage or eagerness. You see it sometimes, maybe in battle, when we see wars and armies on television today. But you see it even more in what are called the battles of the sports arena. A team acting as if they will go out and demolish the inferior team very quickly. Show themselves to be the great people that they are. This is not the eagerness and the courage of the child of God as he goes forth to battle. It is the humble and the meek and the quiet confidence that in Christ the victory is ours. No more clearly in the Scriptures is such a readiness for battle expressed and given as an example than that which we have in David as he went forth to fight that one who wore the great greaves. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into our hands." Take those sentiments and make them yours, and be ready for the battle. This readiness is the fruit of the gospel of peace. Our text calls it the readiness or the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the word "of" indicates that it's the fruit, the result, the consequence of hearing and believing the gospel. This is not a readiness in the Arminian sense, a readiness to believe the gospel, a readiness to hear or receive it. There is no such readiness on the part of the child of God. There can't be. There is no readiness in you and me to hear the gospel until God Himself, by that very gospel that saves, makes us ready. And the text is speaking not of those who are outside the church, calling them in. Here, do everything you need to come in and be members of the church. It's speaking of the Christian warrior, the one who is in the church of Jesus Christ by God's work. And it says, to such an one, the gospel of peace which you hear makes you ready. Do you not feel ready? There's something wrong with how you're hearing the gospel of peace. What is the gospel? It's the good news of salvation in Christ. It includes all of the fundamental aspects of the Christian faith because they are set forth in the Bible. Christ is the Son of God, born into our flesh, died the accursed death of the cross, rose to secure our salvation. At the right hand of God bestows all the blessings of salvation on us. In one word, all of that can be summarized in this: peace. Peace is the opposite of war. It is especially the opposite of the war and enmity which we have with God by nature. We hate Him. We defile Him and His holy things. And therefore, by nature, we do live in fear of Him. So does the ungodly unbeliever, though too proud to admit it. And on his part, he's at war with us. Except in Jesus Christ, He gives us peace. And He does that by making us His friends. He does that by sending Christ to the death of the cross in order to atone for our sins. Why do you and I have peace with God? Did He come and say, "Let's sit down at a table and sign a peace treaty," and we agreed to that? No. Did we hold up the white flag of surrender because the trials and burdens of our life were so great that we decided we'd better give our life to God? No. There is peace with God because He made peace Himself in Christ. And now in the gospel, He tells us that. He tells us what He has accomplished. And this is why the gospel is good news, the literal meaning of the word gospel. Good news in the first place because it's from God, whose word is true. Good news in the second place because it comes to the sinner who stands in such dire need of hearing this word. Good news in the third place because it speaks of an accomplished fact, not a possibility that God holds out. Maybe there will be peace if you do this, but a fact. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the gospel. What a peace. There are fears. Do you have fears? But you are not afraid if you believe the gospel that God is any longer your enemy. Do you have fears? But you are no longer afraid if you believe the gospel of being destroyed, soul and body, in hell forever. Do you have fears? But you are no longer afraid that the circumstances of this life, the trials and the burdens that you face, will destroy your faith. Peace with God. What about this gospel and the hearing of this gospel prepares us to fight? And the answer in the first place is that the hearing of this gospel works in us gratitude for all that God has done for us in Christ. It motivates. It says to me, the sinner, God has done that for me? Then it's a small thing, you see, that He put me in His army and give me His armor and His weapons and say, go fight in my cause. I say, is that the least I can do? Is there more? I will give myself, my time, my energy, my all. In the second place, the hearing of this gospel makes us ready because it reminds us that the power comes from God. The enemy is stronger. So was David's as he faced Goliath. There was to the human sight no question about that. It didn't take long for anyone to understand who was the underdog and who was the favored one in that battle. And so it is with the battle of the church against the world and wickedness too. The church is the underdog. She is at a disadvantage until we hear that God empowers us. We forget about God. We can't see Him with our eyes. We don't remember He's on our side. And it's not just a matter of this is our cause and our battle, and suddenly God says, oh, I'll help you. But it's God's cause and God's battle. So His help is certain and it's assured. And the third thing about the hearing of the gospel that prepares us, makes us ready to fight, is that, again, it speaks of the certainty of the victory. The church will be victorious. You and I, in our battles against sin in our own lives and in our own waging of the battle against unbelief in the area in which God has placed us, will be victorious. Only we mustn't make the danger or the mistake of looking at victory in human terms again, and supposing that if we're victorious, we will accomplish everything we want to accomplish. No, we will be victorious in accomplishing God's good pleasure. Beloved, is that the effect the hearing of the gospel has for you? Does it make you ready to fight the battles of faith? And I ask that because although the text presents preparation for battle as a fruit of the gospel of peace, there are other effects too. The unbeliever, that is one who either is reprobate or, if appointed to salvation, it is not God's time yet that he be saved, responds to this gospel by saying, "I hate the gospel. You just preach the gospel. That's precisely that against which I fight. That's the enemy. A gospel of a sovereign God, of a triune God, of one only Savior and salvation exclusively in Christ." It gears up others to fight too against the very truth. That should make us ready. And then it might be that one is indeed a child of God, a professing Christian, not only outwardly, but a genuine child of God, and yet we've grown lethargic. We're not up to war. And we're not up to war because some of our friends are on the other side. We're associating with those whom we ought not associate with. And we're not up to war maybe because it's perhaps a relative, a loved one in the flesh who's on the other side. Or we're not up to war because we understand what it requires of me tomorrow when I go to work. Then I must be a warrior in God's cause, and I don't want to pay the price. And if that's our mindset, then to hear the gospel doesn't necessarily make us ready. It might make us resent the fact that we have been put in a battle and called to fight. So the question is pertinent. Examine ourselves. Let each of us do that. Does the hearing of the gospel really make you ready? Because if it doesn't, we need to search our souls and find out why. This effect of which the text speaks is the effect the gospel must have on God's children and will have when in humility we stand under the gospel and we receive it as the word of God and we see that it's God's cause that's at stake. Why is this footwear necessary? Well, in the first place, we need this spiritual footwear to protect ourselves against injury. That's why we wear shoes anyway. Bodily injuries, not in themselves serious to life or threatening of life, can still affect our ability to move and walk and act normally. A thorn in the foot, a cut in the sole of the foot, a sprain in the ankle, these leave us crippled. Now, if that happens to a soldier in battle, then even though the enemy hasn't shot an arrow toward him and isn't anywhere near him with his spear or sword, that soldier is ineffective. He has a spiritual injury to his foot. Perhaps such a thorn would be the remembrance of sins past in our own life. I'm to go fight this battle. I'm to fight against sin and unbelief. But I remember my own sins of youth. Perhaps such a cut on our spiritual sole of our spiritual foot is the nagging thinking that maybe God is not pleased with me. Either because I haven't confessed my sins or because I don't really understand or take to heart the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Perhaps such a sprain in my spiritual ankle is the lack of confidence that the victory is ours. We need this spiritual sandal on our foot of the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that all these things don't hinder us. We're ready because we have an answer to these questions. Sin in the past, but the gospel is God has put my sin aside. Unconfessed sin, but the gospel is that in the way of confessing, God will put my sin aside. That's reason number one why we need such footwear to prevent injury from hindering us in the battle. In the second place, we need such footwear to enable us to stand firmly in the battle. A soldier does not always fight on a paved road. He fights at times in the miry bogs and marshes. Again, he might be fighting on a thorn field, in hills, on rocks. And in all of these different kinds of terrain and uneven terrain, the soldier who fights effectively must stay standing. That's the reason why the Roman soldiers' footwear had nails or spikes through the sole of the foot on the underside. He could get better traction and he could hold his ground and stay standing. We need that too. Because the terrain on which we fight so often is not the terrain of here's the Bible, which is the authoritative Word of God. That is, that's always our approach. We present the Bible as the authoritative Word of God. But the enemy doesn't always agree with that. How many battles wouldn't hardly be fought at all if the enemy agreed with that? Satan is busy getting us to fight on his battleground. Science doesn't agree with the Bible. Yes, that might be what God says, but that was 2,000 years ago in a different time and a different culture. Things are different today, and all of the ways in which the enemy twists the Scriptures and uses them deceitfully and throws them back at us as if to make us think God is on his side and we stand alone, this is the uneven terrain on which the Christian warrior fights his battles. How are you going to stand? It requires a knowledge of and a confidence in the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, which implies a full understanding of what the Scriptures are. The Word of God. Later on we'll find that that in fact is the sword that we use. The Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God to His people in every age and at every time. With this gospel we can stand firm. In the third place, we need the spiritual footwear to enable us to advance securely and not give up ground in the heat of the battle. Now we're not just talking about going to the battle, marching towards the enemy. Now we are engaged with the Word of God against sin in the lives perhaps of our children in the home, or in the lives perhaps of even a husband or a wife, or a parent, in the lives of others in the church to which we go. And we need to be able to stand firm and not retreat. If the enemy is pushing us back, we are losing the battle, not the war. The war is won, but we might lose an individual battle if we're not armed right and if we don't fight right. We need this kind of footwear to hold our ground and even advance against the enemy. And what makes us able to do that is that this gospel of which the text speaks is the one only true gospel. There are a multitude of gospels out there. There are as many gospels in the world, shall we say, at the risk of exaggerating, there are as many gospels in the world as there are kinds of shoes on the shelves of any shoe store. And yet God does not say to us, go find any kind of shoe, put on any kind of gospel, it doesn't matter what kind it is. There is only one that's genuine. There is only one that will enable us to hold our ground. If you use a gospel that speaks of worldly peace, of earthly victory, if you try using a gospel that speaks of God's love for all men, where's the readiness to fight? If you use a gospel that speaks of a common grace, God favors all, where's the readiness to fight? Now I must go learn everything I can from my enemy, because in some way God teaches him truth, and I need to find out what that truth is. With the true gospel, one only gospel of salvation from sin in Christ, I can hold my ground. This isn't to say that I'll sway the enemy, change his mind. It is to say that I will not question whether the cause is the right cause and whether my words are the words that must be spoken, and I will not question whether my faith is right or not. I know it, for I am shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've given three reasons, and those three reasons I drew analogies to the footwear of the Roman soldier. There is a fourth reason yet, which is of a different character, why this footwear is necessary. The gospel speaks of peace. And if we understand it rightly, this peace is the goal of the war. Now, we must understand it rightly, so listen. There is certainly an irony here, isn't there? God says, go to war. And in order that you can fight well, here's the gospel of peace. Are not peace and war so antithetical toward each other that you would say, how can I fight in a war with a gospel of peace? We do wrong, of course, to suppose that that means we have God's permission to make peace with the enemy. There is no peace with Satan. There is no peace with sin, and there is no peace with the wicked world. Earthly peace is not going to happen. Why would God say, go to war wearing the gospel of peace? And the answer is because the gospel of peace explains why there is a war. Lose sight of why there is a war and you lose all heart. When President Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction over in Iraq, and everyone believed him, they were ready to war. And when people started questioning and second-guessing whether there were really such in Iraq, then people started second-guessing, why are we even at war? Now, this footwear of the gospel of peace tells us why there is a war. We spoke of the peace that God made with us in Jesus Christ, but He made it with some and some only. Of necessity, because God saves only a remnant out of the human race, those whom He saves and brings into covenant fellowship with Him will be at war with the rest of humanity. The truth will be at war with the lie. Righteousness will be at war with unrighteousness. This is a fact. To be shod with the gospel of peace reminds us why there is a war. Go back to Genesis 3, verse 15, and God made it very clear right from the outset. Enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. In the second place, This preparation of the gospel of peace reminds us that we are on the side of the war in which there's unity and peace. That's an amazing thing. We fight in an army, the Church of Jesus Christ, which has peace amongst itself. There is no dissension in that army. There is no turmoil within the army itself. Am I speaking in too lofty of terms? Because it certainly is true, isn't it, that sin does do that. Sin does work dissension in the army of Jesus Christ. We're thinking of that army as Christ sees her and as He works in her by His Spirit in the hearts of His true elect. There is a unity there and a peace. And what of Satan's side? The world presents itself as of one mind. The world presents itself as the most unified and of armies. The world presents itself as enjoying peace, but there is none. It is a facade. It is an impression they would have us believe, because then we see, if we believe that impression, the more how great they are, and we're the more scared of them. But to remember that when Jesus Christ comes on the clouds of heaven and with His word, one breath of His mouth, destroys Satan and all his hosts, and they all go to hell, but that's all they have in common. There's no fellowship there. There's no peace. There's no unity. Reminds us we are already now on the side of peace, the side of victory. Then I said the goal of the war is to bring peace. And by that, I simply mean this. That as we fight using the gospel of peace, God is pleased to use our Christian witness, our words, as well as our Christian life, our actions, to work in the hearts of those who were until now unbelievers, to say, I have to be on that side. I'm fighting for the wrong cause. I'm fighting against what's right. God uses this for the conversion of some. And in that way, peace is extended to all of the elect. An irony, but a reality. The gospel of peace prepares us to fight in war. With this footwear, then, we must shod ourselves. Put it on. The people of Jesus' day did not wear shoes in their houses to show that they were ready to go out of their house and go about the activities of the day. They put their shoes on. All the more then comes the call to the army, who is, though relatively prepared, has its armor nearby, not have the armor on. Get your armor on now. It is time. Put on your spiritual footwear. You and I don't wear this by nature. That's what we're reminded of. These kind of shoes are not found in our closets, even in our spiritual closets. But God provides them freely and says, put them on. That's the text too. That's the participle which is translated in the text, shod. Being shod, literally, or even more literally, shodding yourselves. We're not infants. The text isn't saying sit down now and let somebody else put your shoes on. We do that to little children. We're adults. We're mature in the Christian faith. Put on your own shoes and be ready to go forth in the battle. Not that we cooperate with God, but God gives us His gifts and gives us the power of His grace to use them right, and says, now put them on. How do we put them on? In the first place, by attending to the gospel. Some run into the battle without their shoes, their sandals on. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They know there's a battle, and it's called the Christian battle, but they don't know the gospel of grace. And they end up limping back out of the battle, unable to fight. Let us hear the gospel. Let us be diligent in frequenting that place where the gospel is preached. To do that is to put on this footwear. You see again the folly of those who say that because they are Christians, they do not need church. As if to say, because I'm a soldier, I don't need to put on my armor. You see the silliness there, don't you? Well, so also for the Christian. It's by the use of the means of grace at church, the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments, that the gospel prepares us. Be diligent continually in your use of the means of grace. But in the second place, we put on our sandals by taking that gospel that we hear and applying it to our souls personally. What I'm saying is that if in church we hear the gospel and we keep it in our head, we still are not ready for the battle. It must be something that feeds our soul. And then to apply it to our souls personally is to do something that the preacher cannot do for you. He can do everything possible to make the text relevant and to show you that the text speaks to you and to me in our lives in general. But only you know what's in your soul and what your soul needs and what struggles there are in your soul. To take this gospel and use it to soothe and comfort your soul and to heal your own spiritual sicknesses. That is to put on these shoes. It's in this way that the first three elements of the Christian's armor all relate to each other. The breastplate, first of all, the girdle of truth, the truth of God's Word. The breastplate of righteousness, that which God's Word declares. And the preparation of the gospel of peace, which speaks truth and which speaks of the righteousness of Christ. You need them all. When you have them all, when you feel, not just feel them all, when you know that you have them all in your soul, you are ready. So, what hinders us, beloved, from putting on the spiritual footwear? Gross sin, deliberate transgression of one of God's commands, one or more, in which we live secretly? Is that what's hindering us? Discontentment with our lot in life? Envy, jealousy at the circumstances of the lives of others? Is that hindering you from putting on the shoes that make you ready to fight? Pride? As if you can't stoop so low as to put on these shoes? Ingratitude to God? Selfishness? Impatience? Unkindness towards others? Are these hindering? If they are, they must be dealt with. They must be addressed first. And then I can hear the gospel of peace. And then I can put on my footwear. And then I can fight. Of course, shodding ourselves with this footwear is something we do in the power of the grace of God. I do not choose to believe. I do not choose to be confident. I do not choose to have peace with God God gives me these things. But hearing that it is my calling to put these shoes on means that as a child of God, I pray that God will give me this equipment. I use the means God uses to receive it from Him, and then possessing it and fighting and finding the victory, I boast in God and not in myself. Put on your sandals. Go to the battle. Be not afraid. Be courageous. Be a David. And God will give us too the victory over Goliath. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for providing this armor for us and for giving us the grace to put it on. But do give us that grace continually, for we stand in danger of neglecting this gospel of grace, of not shodding ourselves with it, and of supposing that it is really not all that necessary for us. Help us to see how needful it is, and then in gratitude to receive it and to go forth to battle. For Jesus' sake, amen.